The children are staying in the service this morning, so I'm doing things a little differently, and I'm using some PowerPoint pictures to help us think about the unspeakable or the gift beyond words who God gave to the world. So if you see these flashy PowerPoints, Google helped me a lot. In Luke chapter 2, verse 7, we read that when Jesus was born, Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And that gift that God has given, described by Paul in the Corinthian letter as an unspeakable gift, an indescribable gift, a gift beyond words. I'm using that as an idea that the gift is given, but it needs to be unwrapped, to be received. And that the unwrapping of the gift is like a picture for us of faith. Lots of people give and receive gifts at Christmas time. But if you don't unwrap the gift, if you don't open the gift, you're not able to fully enjoy it and receive it. And faith is like unwrapping the gift. That's the picture that I'm using for faith this morning. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means to have faith in Jesus Christ. It means to unwrap the gift. And the amazing thing about the swaddling cloths that the Lord Jesus was wrapped in when he was born, the shepherds had been told that that was a sign to them of the baby who had been born, because the shepherds who were out in the fields would have been used to wrapping newborn spotless lambs with swaddling cloths for the use as sacrificial lambs in the temple in Jerusalem. So Jesus, the Lamb of God, was born. The Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. People all over the world this morning rejoicing in the Saviour who was born. Well, you can receive a gift, but you need to unwrap it. Here's a funny thing I've noticed, though, and we'll see it in this next slide, that sometimes children receive gifts at Christmas time, but play with a wrapping paper. Anybody notice that? There's a little chap there, look. But he's playing with the box, he's playing with the wrapping paper. Rather than with the gift that's given, he's playing with the wrapping paper on the outside. And I can remember doing that, and I'm sure some of you have seen children receiving gifts, but playing with the wrapping paper instead. Gifts were brought by wise men to Jesus after he'd been born. And the wise men who brought gifts were wise men. And one of the wise things that men do at Christmas time is they don't try to wrap Christmas gifts. Because I find that wrapping gifts is not my strong point. I've taken a very scientific survey with my two sons, and they also tell me, Dad, wrapping gifts is not it's not for you. Don't you try to wrap gifts. And I found that I can have the most enormous piece of wrapping paper and the smallest gift, and yet still after I've wrapped it, something is poking out to the side. So if you look at that neck, now who wrapped that, do you think? Was it me or Wendy? Who wrapped it? Me, yeah, you're right. See, I'm not an expert at wrapping gifts. But on the other hand, I can give my wife or my daughters-in-law some wrapping paper, and they can seemingly, with that wrapping paper, they'd be able to wrap up a jumbo jet present size, because they like wrapping and they do it with expertise. And I think it's something that comes perhaps more naturally to ladies than men. My gift suggestion for men is, wherever possible, buy gifts that are already gift wrapped before you give them, so that when you give them, they're wrapped properly, but keep the receipt, because you never know, just in case. Keep the receipt, but don't try to wrap it yourself. Well, the indescribable gift that the Bible talks about in the coming of Jesus Christ is a theme that's found through all the Bible. That faith involves receiving the gift that God gives. God gave to Adam and Eve skins from an animal to cover the shame of their nakedness when they had sinned and rebelled against God. How did they cover themselves? A gift from God. God gave Noah a plan for an ark that would provide for the saving of his household. when judgment came upon the world in a worldwide flood. Noah's gift. God gave Abraham a promise concerning his descendants that they would be like the stars of the night sky. A gift from God. I like looking at the stars at night time, and I'm always amazed to see in the stars the wonder and the amazement of the power of God in creation, but also to remember, as the gospel spreads over all the world, there are those who trust in Jesus Christ. And on that great day when Jesus returns, his people will be like the stars in the night sky, innumerable. God gave Sarah a precious gift, a child in her old age. He named him Isaac. And God gave to Isaac a promised ram to take the place of sacrifice on the altar of Moriah as Abraham raised the knife. God gave Joseph a position of prime minister in Egypt when the days of famine came, so that his family would be preserved. God gave prophets as gifts to plead with people right through the Old Testament to tell them the Messiah would be born, would come and deliver and save. God gave the shepherds an announcement that this Messiah who was born, they would see the sign, a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths. And God gave Joseph the gift of patience to understand that the one who was betrothed to him had not betrayed him, but had been faithful to him, and that the child which was born to her was of the Holy Spirit. God gave the world the Prince of Peace as a gift, and God gives you this morning pardon for sin, that you may know the joy of everlasting life through a gift that is given. It's not earned, it's not merited, it's not deserved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So in the Old Testament, this gift was wrapped in types and shadows and pictures and symbols. If you go back one first, that's how you should wrap a gift, you see, not the way I wrapped it, but properly. And all through the Old Testament, there are these pictures. A gift is going to come. A gift is going to be given. So we go to the next one. There were all these shadows, these pictures, these images all through the Old Testament. A gift is coming. The Messiah is coming. In lambs that were being sacrificed, in the idea that God would intervene himself in the history of the world, in the coming of the Son of God, the Messiah, in the fact that all the pictures in the Old Testament that point to the coming of Jesus, the colors of the garments of the priests, the metals in the tabernacle, all through the Old Testament, you have these pictures of the coming of a gift. The seed spoken of in Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman who would bruise the head of the serpent. Shiloh in Genesis 49 verse 10. Peace, one who'd come to bring peace to those who trust in him. Peace with God. In Numbers 24, there's a scepter to rise out of Jacob and smite the corners of Moab. A savior king would be born, the King of Glory. A prophet would be born, raised out of the midst of the brethren. The great prophet who would bring the word of God to us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He came to reveal God to us. Conceived by a virgin, according to Isaiah. We heard of his coming, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Daniel spoke of him, the Messiah who would come. The ruler to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, Micah the prophet spoke of him. So all through the Old Testament, there are these pictures of a gift that God would bring. But faith is like unwrapping the gift. Because in this coming of this baby is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament promises of a king who's to be born. We'll do the next. So I'm saying God's gift to London, to the world, to you, not just for Christmas Day, but for every day of life. Every truth, every teaching, every picture of the Old Testament about the coming of a Messiah. As you read the Bible then, you understand Moses smiting the rock, the brass serpent on a pole, the manna in the wilderness, Jonah and the great fish. As you read the Psalms of David or the Proverbs of Solomon, you're looking forward to the coming of a great gift from God But have you unwrapped the gift? Have you received the gift? To those who receive him, to them, Jesus gives the power to be called and the right to be called the sons and daughters of God. So wrapped up in this baby is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament promises. But in the next picture, wrapped up in this baby is the fullness of Almighty God. In Jesus, as the Bible, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, which is why we confessed the Nicene Creed together. The God who created the heavens and the earth, the God who divided the Red Sea, the God who appeared to Moses in the burning bush, the God who delivered Daniel from the lions, and the three Hebrew boys from the fiery furnace, the one sleeping in the arms of Mary wrapped in those swaddling cloths, is Almighty God, says the Bible. John explains in his gospel that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, which is why the Apostle Paul declared then that in Jesus Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And Jesus can make these amazing declarations then. I and my Father are one, said Jesus. He that has seen me, said Jesus, has seen the Father. Before Abraham was, I am, declared Jesus. We need someone with all the power of God to save us. And Jesus comes, Almighty God, to bring salvation to all who believe upon him. So he's true God, but he also comes to be our substitute as a true man. So wrapped up in this baby too are the big questions of Christmas time, which is our next slide. Mary asked, how can this be that you bear a child since I do not know a man? Joseph was asking the question, should he take Mary to be his wife? What name should be given to the baby? This name Jesus as Savior, this name Emmanuel, God with us. There are lots of questions. You may have questions at Christmas time. And if you do, let me encourage you to have a word with me at the end of the service. There are those who have been studying the Bible, and there are those at the moment with me studying the Bible week by week, as we look at big questions that people ask concerning who Jesus is, what it means to be a Christian, big questions about life and eternity. If I can just tell you very quickly something about Christianity Explained, it asks these questions. Who is Jesus? Who do you say Jesus is this morning? Do you say that he's Almighty God, your Savior, the one who was born to save you from your sins? Who is Jesus? What does it mean that Jesus died on the cross? Why did Jesus die on the cross? Do we understand fully the significance that the one who was born in Bethlehem is the one who was born to lay down his life on the cross to rescue us? Did Jesus really rise from the dead? See, if Jesus rose from the dead, it sets him apart from every other religious leader who's ever been born. Because every other religious leader has been born and has died and is still dead. Jesus, who was born and died and rose from the dead, if he's alive as a living Savior, that means there's only one Savior. Because there's only one who conquered death for us. What is grace? What is repentance? What is faith? Those are big questions, aren't they? So if you want to find out more, I'll have a word with me at the end and I can arrange for you to study the Bible. Or if you're asking the question, what is baptism? What does it mean to be baptized? And if you're a Christian, why should you be baptized? Again, we have Bible studies that will help answer questions like that. Finally, wrapped up in this baby is the salvation for all who would believe. So I'm asking, have you unwrapped the gift? Because your response to Jesus Christ, your relationship with God, rests on what you do with this gift, Jesus Christ. The baby in Mary's arms would confound doctors of the law in the temple, would be baptized by John the Baptist, and the Holy Spirit would descend upon him to empower him for ministry and service. Jesus working miracles, calling disciples to himself, but would die on the cross, be buried in a borrowed tomb, be raised from the dead. So to the natural eye, this baby looks like any other baby. God's gift looks like any other gift. But Mary, we read she pondered, she thought, she considered. She came to see that her spirit rejoiced in the one who'd been born, because this baby who had been born to her was also her Saviour. So the Holy Spirit is the one who helps you by faith to unwrap the gift, as it were. To understand on Christmas Day, the shepherds unwrapped the gift. The wise men unwrapped the gift. Anna and Simeon unwrapped the gift, recognizing the Messiah. John the Baptist unwrapped the gift to see in Jesus Christ the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. The disciples who were called by Jesus unwrapped the gift. Mary Magdalene unwrapped the gift. She was talking to a stranger in the garden when she suddenly realized that this stranger she was talking to was actually Jesus risen from the dead. Thomas unwrapped the gift when at first he found it difficult to believe that Jesus had conquered death. But Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And if you seek with all your heart, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit will help you to unwrap the gift to see that Jesus Christ is that gift that God gives. The unspeakable gift, the gift beyond words. He gives eternal life and peace to all who put their trust in him. So I'm saying about Christmas time, as we unwrap gifts that we give to one another, but the most important gift you can unwrap is this gift of God's Son sent into the world. I'm saying experience God's gift of peace then by unwrapping the gift. You receive Jesus as your peacemaker, the one who makes peace between you and God. That's the most basic need we have. Peace with God. It's the foundation for all the other pursuits of peace. We want peace in our lives, peace with others, peace amongst nature, amongst the nations. But the most fundamental peace is peace with God. It is only through faith in Jesus Christ that you have peace with God. Our sins, like a barrier, mean we can't have peace with God unless Jesus takes those sins away. Declared, forgiven, peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ, by unwrapping the gift. That's achieved not by works, not by tradition, not by baptism or church membership, not by parentage, by faith, faith alone, that Jesus becomes your supreme treasure as the gift God gives to give you peace with God as you believe upon him and you're justified by faith. And by unwrapping that gift, your rebellion against God is overcome. God brings you into his family. He adopts you as his son or daughter by faith. And that means then you can glorify God this Christmas day. You can take every issue of life to him. You can tell him all about every aspect of your life. And you can ask him for forgiveness and help and peace. To restore peace, if you've never known peace with God before, or to grant you that sense of God's presence and peace with you this Christmas day, that for believers, where meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in. We thank God for his gift beyond words. So let's pray together. Lord, we praise you this morning for this gift beyond words, the gift of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We thank you that by faith, as it were, unwrapping that gift, we receive peace and pardon and forgiveness. We thank you for this Saviour who's born, the one who's called Jesus, who came to save his people from their sins. We thank you that he comes as Emmanuel, with all the power of God, God with us. All the power of God to bring salvation to millions and millions of people this morning all over the world who believe upon him. We praise God. We thank God for his gift beyond words. And we pray, Lord, for believers here, those who listen to the service online, those who worship in small and large congregations all over this country and in all the nations of the world today. Oh, we thank you that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and we glorify God in him, and we ask, Lord, for your blessing and help now upon each one of us and upon the Church of Jesus Christ as we confess this day the great, indescribable gift of God, Jesus Christ. And wrapping that gift by faith, we know peace with God. And we praise God, receive our thanks, And we come in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I had a discussion last night about what is the best Christmas carol. They didn't all agree with me, but I think this is the best Christmas carol. It's our closing one, 206. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. There's some lines in this which I think are just amazingly wonderful. For example, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. That's an amazing statement of who Jesus is. And then what did he come to do? Born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth, born again, new life in Jesus Christ. And then I like the fourth verse, which is sometimes not always sung, but I really like the fourth verse because it takes you all the way back to Genesis. Rise the woman's conquering seed, bruise in us the serpent's head, now display thy saving power, ruined nature now restore. So for me, this is the best one. 209, we'll stand to sing. 206. Let's pray together. Now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you this Christmas day, and not only today, but even forevermore, world without end. Amen.